Word comes to you from Mountain Life Church in McCall, Idaho, where God is bringing wholeness to people, families, and communities through His Word, His Spirit, and authentic, loving relationships. It is truly our heart that this message touches you and brings wholeness to your families.
Proverbs 23:7 says this, as the mind goes, a man follows. Or let me put it another way. New King James says, as the man thinks, so he is. In other words, Ed's word from a couple weeks ago, just in case you miss it, Ed came and preached a phenomenal word, and he talked about stinking thinking. But isn't it true? Where your mind is, what your mind is doing determines what you do, determines the outcome of your day. When you wake up in the morning, what's happening upstairs will determine what happens in your actions, what happens in your behaviors, what happens in your interactions, and certainly will determine the atmosphere of your day. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the power of the tongue, that life and death is in the tongue. We talked about how we can use our words to change atmosphere. If you don't believe me, go into your workplace one morning. Oh, well, they might fire you if you do this, but go in one morning and just speak all negative stuff. You know, be Eeyore. Oh, it's probably just going to rain today. No sense in painting this house anyway, Jason. The paint's just going to peel off in 10 years anyway. Well, 2 years anyway. Oh, we're probably not going to get paid everything for that. Just try that and see what happens to the atmosphere. And then try the opposite. And come in, and when someone else tries to pull the Eeyore, you be Tigger. In case you didn't know who I was talking about, yes, it's a Winnie the Pooh reference, and yes, I can do that in church, because we're in McCall, Idaho. And my son is still young enough that it's not just weird that I'm talking about Winnie the Pooh. But come in with that different mindset or that different confession and see what happens in the atmosphere. There are certain people who are living proof of this in my life. There are some, by the way, I've just learned because, and I've shared this, I've confessed this openly, my old man tendency would be just negative. I have the gift of cynicism. And sarcasm. And I'm not sure if it's a gift. It was definitely not a gift from God, wherever it came from. And I am just naturally negative, which is why, I don't know about you, but I absolutely need the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to do some work in my life to fix that. But when I get around folks like Heather, who can come in and I could be having the worst day ever, and in just a few words, I feel like being a cheerleader too. And just happy and positive and not throwing negative things. And then at the same time, you can get around someone that just sucks the wind right out of yourselves. You know what I'm talking about? Don't look at that person who sucks the wind out of yourselves. Just do like this right now. Hopefully they're not in this room. Hopefully it's not me. Wait, don't. Everyone just covered their eyes and stopped looking at me. But why is that, and where does that come from? And I alluded to this just at the a little bit a few weeks ago, and you've heard this before. Jesus said, from the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Now, Pastor, is it my heart? Is it my head? Is it my mind? Is it my will? Is it my emotions? The answer is, are you ready for this? If you're taking notes, yes. Yes. It is all those things. We say, well, but what's the difference between the head and the heart? Here, let me just simplify it. It's what is on the inside is going to come outside. What's on the inside of the man, of the woman, where the mind goes, where the heart of the man goes, the body, the rest, the lifestyle follows. And so being a new creature in Jesus Christ, yes, there's some overt things, some outward things that we should do. We should you stop doing those things that we used to do. In fact, the Bible's specific about the things of the world versus the things of God. And we should definitely, you know, if we lived a lifestyle, a pagan lifestyle, we should stop acting like a pagan for sure. But where that comes from has got to be from the inside out. Jesus was addressing this issue, especially with the Pharisees, because they were a bunch of religious folks. They had their 500 plus rules, all their regulations, all their things that you had to follow. And basically, they were trying to force people to conform into an image that they had concocted. So much different than the world today, in the modern church today, where Well, okay, that was complete sarcasm. It is true that so many times in our modern society, we have these ideas and we have these rules and regulations and things that we try to put on ourselves or we try to put on other people to say, oh, well, you know, if you're a Christian, you don't smoke, cuss, drink, or chew, or hang out with those that do. You need to stop dressing like that, looking like that, acting like that, stop listening to that, stop going there. And all of those things might have some benefit. However, if you only focus on the outside, God said specifically, man looks at the outside, but God looks at the heart. The reason being is if my heart doesn't change, then the byproduct of my life is going to be the same. I might not be hanging out in the bars anymore. I might not be out fighting out in the alleys and doing all sorts of craziness anymore. I'm just bringing it into church and making it look holy. Come on now. You see, Jesus called the Pharisees whitewashed tombs. Like you take a gravestone and you paint it white. It looks new. It still represents death. It still represents something old that's in the ground. And see, Jesus never intended to pay the price he paid for us to still live in the bondage of an old life. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Where does the new start? The new start in a new mindset. Ephesians 4:17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Whoa, my heart can actually see. Your heart can actually hear. And see, if my heart is blinded and my heart is deaf, if it's closed off to the things of God, then I can try to come to church and try to raise my hands and clap my hands. I can even try to dance like Heather during the worship set. And I won't ever dance like that again. I should have done the Roger Rabbit. I don't even know what that is. I just have heard it. I could do all those things. And yet, still deal with the same stuff. Still have the same things. So here's some old man mindsets, just for the sake of discussion, actually conviction of the Holy Spirit for me. The first is futile thinking. What is futile thinking? It's thinking that leads to naught. It's thinking that leads to nothing. An example of that, I don't know about you, but I tend to be an analytical thinker. I dissect things. In fact, as the same way that some of you are dissecting every word coming out of my mouth, I'm dissecting it before it even gets to your ears. And sometimes what happens is while I'm overanalyzing, overthinking, I'm missing the message because I'm overanalyzing, overthinking. I'm not even hearing, I'm not even getting the concept because why did you use that word? And why did you say it this way? And why did you? Futile thinking is giving our thoughts to things that have no eternal significance. We live in a day and age. Listen, I love where we live. I love our nation. I love our country. I think our country, there's a lot of horrible rough things going on, but I think our country is poised for the greatest revival that the world has ever seen. I love where we live, and I love being an American, and I'm a patriot. But I'll tell you this, that the American dream has been a trap for the mindset of many believers. Because we get caught up in thinking that if we just work hard enough and earn enough and make enough money and then we have enough homes and enough houses and enough things and enough stuff, then we'll finally be happy. Listen, that is futile thinking because the Bible says freedom and happiness and joy only comes from one place. If I'm trying to fill my life with external things and concentrating on external things, it's futile thinking. And more futile thinking is meditating and thinking on things over and over that consume our thought, consume our time, consume our hours and hours on the internet that don't lead to anything productive. That's futile thinking. I wasn't necessarily making a reference to anything bad, but isn't it true that there is so much information and so many things out there available to us? We could sit and have our brain on neutral for hundreds of hours a week. Do the math. We could sit and have our minds on neutral our whole lives and never really produce anything good because it's just stuff. It's like a hamster on a wheel running really, really hard and not getting anywhere. Anybody relate to that kind of thinking? It's futile thinking. Misguided versus truth guided. The passage in Ephesians 4. This I say, therefore, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles. And a better way to say that is the world, or the way that you did in your past, in the futility of your mind, having your understanding darkened. What's darkened understanding? It's living by a truth that's provided by the world that's not the truth. It's being led by facts. The world is famous, amazing at presenting facts, but not really good about following truth. And for most of us before Christ, we had a lot of information. We had a lot of things that dictated what we believed about creation, about the world, about ourselves, about our own identity, about what we should live for. And most of it is contrary to what God says is truth. In fact, there's a lot even that would consider themselves Christians and believers that are following ideas and concepts that are not necessarily truth. It's misguided thinking. It's misguided truths. Truths. Again, if you're listening online or through another method, I'm making little quote symbols that looks really silly with my fingers. The world's mindset is self-centered versus God-centered. I'm sure none of you in this room can relate to this, but there are people out there that actually believe they're the center of the universe or that they live that way. In fact, I've heard some concepts and ideas of churches and growth programs and things, and kind of the newest idea and concept for pastors to be able to get people to come in is that you have to appeal to the person as the center of their universe in order to get them out of it. Because so many people live, right? Me, myself, and I, and it's all about me. Well, here's the problem. If I have a self-centered mindset, Joe's the center of the universe, then Joe is God and responsible for the outcome of everything that I do. How's that work out for you? You get a bad doctor's report, you better go ask your God to help you out. How's that work if you're that God? I think I shared the story years ago. We were ministering to a man on his deathbed. We led him to the Lord. His eternal destination changed just days before he was going to go be with the Lord. And a New Age practitioner came in with these great, lofty, sound good ideas and said, everything is good and just put your trust in God because you are God. And I went, oh my goodness. God's about to die in 12 hours. That self-centered versus God-centered mindset is an old mindset that can hold on and listen, our flesh can be strong, true? Our self-will, our self-desire. In fact, since the beginning of time, the three main sources for sin have remained, and they have never changed. They just put on a different look, different. They're more technologically easy to get to, but it's been the same thing. It's the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those were present in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned, and they're present today in everything that we do. And those three things are all centered on me, 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 and me. Next is negative paradigms versus God's paradigm. It's the Eeyore paradigm. The next one, and this is the one I really want to deal with today as we want to kind of hit this home with you, and then we can wrap up, and that's the defeated versus victorious mindset. Here's the reality that most of us, without a knowledge of God, without an understanding of what the work of God is, what the will of God is, without understanding the Word of God, most of us don't really have this understanding. But because of the fall of man, because of sin entering into the world, we live in a fallen place, in a fallen space of time, and we're a fallen race. The Bible says that we're all created in sin, shaping it in iniquity because of original sin. Listen, we're all just born into this mess. In other words, we're born having lost. We lost a fight that occurred thousands of years ago. And the devil rubs it in every single day. And the devil would love for you and I to live as though we are still a defeated foe. And the enemy works overtime at convincing you that you've lost and there's no hope and there's no way up. And yes, you're a Christian, but you still did that in your past. Yes, you're a Christian, but you still have, you have that tendency because, you know, you're German and your parents were German and your grandparents were German and you're all just like, and you see, the enemy would love to convince you that you're under it instead of on top of it. And whatever that issue is, whether it's your education or your IQ or your ability to socialize or your ability to be productive or your ability to connect with God. See, the enemy would love to say, well, you know, Jodell's just special. He is just special. But the enemy would love to say he's just special and he has a connection with God because he's been serving God his whole adult life, and he's just, and you'll never have a connection with God like that. Or someone like Ed gets up with 40 plus years of ministry experience, and he's just grandpa in the faith and can just get up and share words of wisdom, and the enemy would love to say, yeah, you'll never be like that. Yeah, see, you, yeah, okay, those words are nice for that guy, but you live in the real world. Okay, something's buzzing me up here. All right. My very first time preaching, I had done Bible studies, but my very first time preaching in the church was in a Baptist church in Belize, and I was already nervous, scared to death, trying to deal with a lot of past mindsets and things with a group of kids, and you get the picture. Anyway, I'm wearing my best preaching in a Baptist church suit, and I'm standing up front, and I'm doing my best to preach the word, and all of a sudden, Heidi and the girls in our missions team have their hands stretched out, and they're praying in tongues, which, first of all, we're in a Baptist church, and what in the world is going on? And I'm just praying. I think, man, the Spirit of God must be on me. It must be awesome. This is so good. I'm preaching. Little did I know, there was a cockroach about this big, with antenna about this big on my shoulder, doing this. And I'm like, man, I'm on fire. Man, they're paying attention to me. I'm preaching and they're watching me and I'm on fire. No, I got a cockroach on my shoulder. Anyway. How do we change our mindsets? Our mindsets change from the inside out. In Numbers 13, and you can, I'm not gonna expand this today, but you can take a look at Numbers 13, and this is the chapter where God's people, Israel, they've been led out of Egypt. They've gone through the wilderness. You know the story. This is before the long stint in the wilderness, and they've been set free from captivity, and God's teaching them how to trust him and rely on him. He's part of the Red Sea. They've seen signs and wonders. They get to the promised land, and they send spies into the promised land. You know the story? And the spies go in, and they check it out. And yes, it's everything God promised. It's the land flowing in milk and honey, or like Sammy used to say, the land flowing in chocolate milk and honey. And it's the real deal. But also their report is, it's real, and the giants there, the people are giants. And yes, the bounty is great, but the enemy is great. And they make this report to Moses, and we were like grasshoppers in our own eyes. See, there is a past mindset, a captivity mindset that we bring out of our captivity to sin, out of our captivity to our past, out of our captivity to our upbringing. I don't know, listen, different people have different upbringings. Some are awesome, and they go, man, I had a great childhood. Listen, I had a good childhood. My mom was amazing. She did a phenomenal job. She did the absolute best that she could. But yet still, I carried issues from my upbringing that affected my confidence. They affected my self-esteem. For years, I carried these acceptance, these rejection issues in my life despite having a good, safe home and having a mom. I carried this, I had these dad issues that I carried for a very long time. And when I got saved, I found a new hope. And listen, God made a promise. When I got saved, I said, Jesus, if you can fix this life, I'll do anything. And listen, God began rapidly changing things and changing me and fixing stuff. But do you know, it was a long season, a long time, where I still carried old mindsets from my past. And some of those old mindsets were insecurity, fear of failure, performance-based acceptance, meaning the only way God would accept me is if I performed great enough. And the only way people would ever accept me is if I performed. Listen, those are old mindsets that will keep you from living as a new creature, a new creation. That is part of the defeated mindset. And the enemy would love to keep you in this place of saying, you'll never be free. You'll never make a difference. You'll never, just live with that. And here's the problem, and this is really what I want to preach to you today, is that there are mindsets that defeat us. And it's like, the war's been won. The battle is yours. Actually, the battle is the Lord's, and he's given the victory to you. God has given you the ability to overcome addiction, to overcome fear, to overcome insecurity, to overcome doubt, to overcome anxiety, all of the things that go on in that hamster wheel brain of ours. God has given us the ability to overcome, and yet many of us are just one step from crossing the threshold. And we can live a lifetime. Listen, you can be a Christian for 50 years and still walking in old mindsets. And sometimes we try to sanctify those old mindsets, and we just try to make them holy, and we dress them up, and we put jewelry on them. Listen, it doesn't matter. Listen, you can put lipstick on a pig, you know the saying, still a pig. But God legitimately wants to change. Ed talked about changing our stinking thinking. I want to give you the keys to changing our mindsets. It's time to come out of the captivity mindset. And I wrote a note. I actually wrote this note to myself a long time ago. And it's this: you can take the person out of captivity, but until you take the captivity out of the person, they'll never be free. Come on, did you catch that? You can take the person out of captivity, but until you take the captivity out of the person, they'll never be free. Let me ask you the question: what's holding you captive even though your freedom has been purchased? Whether it's an addiction, it's fear, it's mindset. Maybe you carry a relationship, a marriage curse, not the curse of being married. No, maybe it's a marriage curse. Maybe your grandparents were divorced and your parents divorced, and now you believe that you've been destined to divorce even though you're a believer. Or you believe that your kids are going to be destined to divorce. Listen, I've heard Christians say that. Well, it's just in our bloodline. It's just what happens. It's just what we know. Listen, that is a past mindset. That is a past defeat that Jesus has overcome, that Jesus has beaten. And we just simply have to have those renewed. Okay, I got to wrap up in 2 minutes on this thought. Forget that I just referred to the time. Okay. First, we renew with the word. Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide between the soul and the flesh, or the spirit of the flesh. In other words, the word of God is how we know what's spirit, what's God, and what's not. That's how we know. That's why we have the word of God. I've heard so much teaching and so much preaching and so much opposition to the word of God in terms of its relevance. And, it's not vogue for pastors to preach from the Bible anymore because people really are. Listen, the only thing that's going to change you is in here. The only way that we know the difference between truth and not truth is right here. Well, but pastor, it's been translated and retranslated. Do you think God is not capable of keeping translation pure? Do you think God is not capable? And listen, and the word even speaks of it of itself in this, is that the word without the Spirit is, it can be lost. You can get weird, you can get goofy, you can get off track, which is why you need the Word of God and the Spirit of God working together. But listen, the fact that you need the Spirit of God doesn't mean that you don't need the Word of God. Without the Holy Spirit, you're reading somebody else's mail. Or someone say a long time ago, well, I don't understand the Bible. It's full of contradictions, and I just don't get it. And somebody else said, well, that's what you get for reading someone else's mail. Because this word is written to those who believe in God. But it's also written to those who have the Spirit of God turning the light on. Revealing, listen, the Holy Spirit isn't to make you all weird and cluck like a chicken and do crazy stuff. Holy Spirit is to bring you into connection with God, who is Spirit. Otherwise, you're just walking around in a pile of flesh. We need the Word of God. Psalm 119, 105 says, the Word is a light and a lamp. In other words, how do I see the way to go? I need the Word of God to see where I need to go. And let me just share something. We're talking about changing mindsets. Your mindset is not going to change by hearing the Word on Sunday morning. Hopefully it helps. But the reality is, if I ask you later in the week, so what'd you think about my sermon? Great, Pastor. Cool. Tell me one thing it spoke to you. Chances are you won't even remember what I said, which is why we need to get it in us. Listen, many of us in this room can quote our favorite song. Many of us in this room can quote a line from the funniest movie our favorite funny movie. My son, it's terrible, but it's good because he gets it from his dad. My son can quote all of his favorite movies. He can sit there, even if he's watched it twice, he can quote it. But listen, this is evidence that what you bring in resides. You become like that which you behold. If you get in the Word and you read the Word and you listen to the Word and you have a steady diet of the Word, listen, eventually it gets in you. And what does the Word say of itself? It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide between truth and untruth, the flesh and the spirit. So if I want to know if I'm walking in truth, if I'm walking in the spirit, if I'm walking in the flesh, I got to have it in me. Next, we need to have the other piece, and that's the Holy Spirit. I already gave it away. Romans 8:6 is this. So letting your sinful nature control your minds leads to death. Listen, let me read this again. This is in the New Living Translation. By the way, I'm kind of stepping out of my norm. By the way, it doesn't contradict the King James, so you're okay. Still almost like reading what Jesus spoke. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Here's the thing. Who do we let rule what's going on upstairs? Who's ruling? Who's in charge? You know, we're created to be three-part beings, body, soul, and spirit. Kind of interesting that God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, also triune being. But we're created in his image, right? So we are a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. But when we were created, we were created to be a spirit people who had flesh. That's how we were created. We were created to connect with God. In fact, if you go back to Genesis in the garden, Adam and Eve had relationship. They had unbroken communion with God. And then when sin entered the picture, it was broken. And now God told Adam and Eve that the spirit, that when they sinned, if they ate of that fruit, they would die. Listen, they didn't fall over dead. What died? The spirit man died. So with the spirit dead, who's in charge? The soul. What's the soul? The soul is mind, will, and emotions. See, our old mindset is controlled by the soul, mind, will, and emotions. The renewed man is controlled by the Spirit. See, walking in the Spirit doesn't mean that like you're walking around all lofty and floaty, and when someone says, hey, how are you doing today? You go, hallelujah! That's not walking in the Spirit, necessarily. Walking in the Spirit means the Spirit is calling the shots, not my mind, my will, or my emotions, and certainly not my flesh, because it's subject to that. Okay, Galatians 5:19. When you follow desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, rap music, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition. I almost threw country music, but I know there's some cowboys sitting over here. Drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. By the way, none of these are things that you can put on. These are fruit that come out. If I don't have love, the Spirit's not in charge. If I don't have self-control, the Spirit's not in charge. If I don't have peace, Scripture says, let the peace of God rule. Rule. Who's in charge? See, so many times we quote the fruit of the Spirit like it's some, hey, kids, just put the fruit on. And even in kids' church, we cut out little fruit and we tack them on ourselves and put them on the kids. Where the fruit? I've got the fruit. Listen, the fruit cannot be put on. The fruit come out from a mindset that is ruled by the Spirit of God. The two other elements that change our mindset, we already have the Word, we have the Spirit, and the third is the Father. Just really quickly, what does the Father have to do with this? Listen, it's the Father who determines the identity. It's time with your Father. It's time in prayer. See, Jesus himself had a difficult ministry. People were trying to kill him. Super high demands, even for the God-man. Even he was all God and he was all man. Even for him, there was high pressure, high stakes. What did Jesus do? Jesus got away to solitary places with the Father and he prayed. He lived from a life of connection to the Father, not running to a place of the Father to escape. Did you catch that? Because listen, Jesus got his identity from the Father, and you and I get our identity from the Father. So many times we have mindsets that are really identity issues. You think that way because you think less of yourself. You think it is your portion to be addicted. You think it is your portion to have divorce in your family. You think it is your portion to just always have sickness in your body. Listen, that is not what the Father thinks of you. That is not what the Father intends for you. How do I get the courage to get in front of people every week? Listen, it does not come from me looking in the mirror and go, oh, you're so good looking. Because honestly, the opposite happens. I look in the mirror and go, if I left it up to myself, I won't repeat what would be said. Might not be as nice as you think. But see, the mirror I need to look into every week to have the courage to do life as I look into the face of my Father. And it's my Father who determines my identity, who says, son, daughter, you're mine. I sent my Son to die for you. You are good enough for me to give it all for. I paid the highest price. I let go of my own because you are worthy of my love. And nothing you ever do will ever change that. Your worthiness is not your works. Your worthiness is because you're mine. You belong to me. Listen, the greatest antidote to a wrong mindset is a word from your Father. Son, daughter, I love you. I accept you. I want more for you. These old mindsets, this stinking thinking is not consistent with how I see you. See, sometimes we pray to God and we rehearse, we tell him things about ourselves and he looks down and says, stop, it's not true. That's not who you are. You see yourself through the wrong mindset. You have the wrong paradigm. And finally, church, the fourth part of renewing our mind, we have the word, the Spirit, the Father, and the fourth is the body. It's the body of Christ. The word says that we should comfort each other and edify one another. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The word says to stir each other up, to spur each other on into love and to good works. Listen, sometimes when your old mindset is screaming the loudest, you need to call a friend who can speak the truth into your life. Where do we get friends? That's why we have small groups. That's why we do Tuesday morning Bible study. This is why the women are doing small groups and having a women's conference, because we need each other, because we need all four of these parts to renew us, because it just doesn't happen the day we get saved.
Thank you for listening to this week's Word. If you would like to receive prayer or get in contact with any of our ministries or leaders, go ahead and call us at 208-634-3037. Have a great and blessed day.